Hello, everybody. Welcome. The topic today is how to make more money in in-home child care. We will talk about how to increase revenue. That's how to make more money. What the 7 most often made mistakes are with money and how to avoid them. Mistakes from in-home child care operators, of course. How to be sure that you are making money. Yes, many people think they're making money when they're not. And how to increase profit, possibly without even increasing tuition. So have your thinking cap on, your ears open, and that's what we're going to do. My name is Sharon Sarles. I am a professional level master trainer recognized in Texas, and I have a home-based business too, just like you, only now I am teaching teachers, and that's what my calling is now. I started teaching children when I was 12 in the church nursery and got into early childhood as soon as it was legal, and I have done many things since then. I have taught adults. I have been a director for a child care center, and of course, I've taken care of children in my home. And so I want to serve. That's my value, really. My value in what I do for work is to be of highest service, to be excellent through being of highest service, ethical excellence. And my primary value isn't to make money. And that may be true for you too, but I want to be excellent in giving service. And of course, it has to be sustainable in a business way. So let me help you as I have helped some other businesses. And I'm looking for teachers who have similar values, who want to be excellent. And the definition of excellence is to be of highest service, whose calling is to be a teacher. All right. So I'm hoping that you are like that. I have some consulting clients who have a center. One of them has a Montessori center in her home, who has 12 children and an employee. And she would have a whole child care center soon if she could find a building. And she's a very sharp woman. And I'm assuming that that's how you are. Of course, I do have some clients who are just starting out. And so I understand your level of concern, perhaps. So let's jump into our topic. Let me, before I do that, say something about the value of this training. Training for early childhood teachers goes for next to nothing in the state. Why? Not because training has so little value. Training goes for so little because the government offers it for free. And so as a business matter, competition, people have to offer it for very little. And that's why there are almost no people who do this for their living in this state, but that's not true in other states. Training is valuable. Even when the market depresses the price. You know, there's a ancient proverb that says, knowledge is better than gold. Get wisdom. Well, right, because if you have knowledge and wisdom in all of your getting, get wisdom. Because if you have those things, then you can get the gold. If you've got the knowledge and the wisdom, you can get the gold and you can keep the gold, and it's really more valuable. And this is the second report that I have given away for free to in-home child care teachers. And I want to explain to you that reports are not like other training. Reports are more valuable in business because they are telling the business owner what not everybody else knows. A trainer is a teacher. She's teaching people. Okay, they may not know it, but it's typically not things that the market doesn't know. But reports have to be written by experts who know something, either because they're a researcher or because they know of themselves, but they have to know something that not everybody knows. And so a report that's sold to the general public is usually sold at the $100 level. A report at the corporate level might cost anything. It might be a report on how to find water to use in your drilling operation in West Texas, and who knows how much that could go for, because it's dependent on the business operation of drilling oil. So reports are very valuable. These are things that many in-home operators don't know. So I would say maybe the $100 level, but I have given it to you for free. And why? Because I am looking for teachers who are aligned with my values, who aspire to being great teachers and therefore will be diligent learners, people who aspire to being excellent and for whom the definition of excellent is highest service. And of course, you have to be sustainable, so in a business way. So anyway, that's what I'm up to. I'm looking for people who want to learn and be diligent learners, and because I am certainly a diligent teacher. Okay? In fact, your primary value may not be money, as mine is, but you do need to know how to sustain your business. You will need to know how to increase revenue from time to time, increase tuition. Perhaps you've had some families move away, or the economy is depressed, or whatever reason might happen, you want to be prepared. You want to be prepared to learn here, and I want you to have an open mind, at least to a certain extent, not so open that your brain falls out. I don't ever suggest that you should have such an open mind that your brains fall out. So how do you do that? You say, how do you know? This is an important thing, to say, how do you know? Because many people today will teach things that are not correct. Just walk down the street. Walk over to the homeless shelter and you'll find people who tell you how to handle money, who will tell you how to live your life. Right. So you need to sort out what is correct information. But you also need to be open enough to have new ideas, because if you don't have new ideas, you will not raise to the top of the marketplace. Yes, you will not rise to the level of excellence. If you do what everybody does, you will get what everybody gets. The majority is always wrong. Majority is not at the top. So I want you to have an open mind, and particularly in this case, I want you to be open to hearing ideas from other business sectors, okay? Not just stories from in-home childcare operations, because most in-home childcare operations are not at the top in the excellent realm, of course. For instance, think about the business owner who had a little restaurant and he wanted to be excellent. He was always on the prowl for new ideas. This was many decades ago, and he was waiting in line to make a deposit in the bank, because the bank had a window for after hours deposits for business people like him, and he handed in his deposit into the bank window, and he had a great idea. Oh, why don't I have a window in my restaurant so people don't have to get out of their cars? And fast food was born. Fast food was born because he took an idea from a completely different industry. And this is how the best, most creative businesses work. They're going to take ideas from other places. Yes? And so I want you to be open-minded like that. You are going to have to change what you do to be more excellent, right, by definition. Yes, I don't mean throw everything that's good out, but be open to new ideas, and then, of course, test those ideas. So I'm going to tell you today how to make more money, and a little fancier way of saying that is increase your revenue. So the first thing that you need to ask yourself on how to make more money is notice that your money comes from your customers. And so you need to ask yourself, what is it that my customers want? The very best businesses offer something that the customers want, and they're all wrapped up in their customers. That's why it's called customer service. The typical thing to do is to be all wrapped up in your product or service and talk about that. But if you do that, then you'll be like everyone else. You won't rise to the top. So it might seem obvious to you what your customers want. They want you to take care of their children. Well, let's unpack that. And of course, your parents in your particular neighborhood might want something slightly different from what parents want in another neighborhood. So maybe you ought to find out. Let's unpack that. We know that everyone wants their children to be safe. Now, parents probably assume that your home or center is safe. They probably checked with a friend. They might have even gone on the state website to see that you weren't cited. Okay? Safety is going to be number one. Secondarily, they want to be treated with some civility, meaning respect, you know? And this is why people rely on their friends to recommend a family. We used to call them family day homes, an in-home operator. They want to do business with people who they think are nice. And if their friends think they're nice, then that's reasonable. But nice is not necessarily good. And I could tell you some stories about people who ran centers and they're really great with moms, but kind of treat the children like sardines. Well, hope you're not going to be that way. Parents want a good life for their children, okay? Now, what good life means and how much they've thought about good life, that may depend, okay? So you need to find out in your neighborhood, are they, if they're affluent people, they're going to care a whole lot about academics, literacy, numeracy, getting into the best schools. In some other neighborhoods, they might care more about love or culture, being street smart. So you have to find out what it is that those parents consider an entree to a good life. Now, if you live in a place where there are many choices, then you may be able to differentiate yourself, make yourself different from others. For instance, I mentioned my client who has a Montessori school in her home. She has outfitted her garage, finished that out, and so she really has a Montessori school in her home, attached to her home as a garage. She has 12 children there. And so in this neighborhood, there are many people who are professionals. Many of them are first-generation Americans. Many of them know about Montessori. And so as soon as they know she's Montessori, then she has become one better than all of those around there. And so they want that, and she's got it. In some other places, people never heard of Montessori. So we'll talk about that kind of marketing here in a minute. But just sum up, think about your parents. And you may, if you're starting, have to do some research. Go out and talk to people. Go out and talk to your colleagues. Who has a waiting list? Who does not? And if you haven't just started, talk to your parents. And be sure they're happy because, number one, your referrals are going to be from your other parents. But start with what your parents want. And by the way, as we talk about what is excellent, I do want to mention what was in my other report is that there is research out. There's a lot of research out, but it seems to be not talked about anywhere, that the number one predictor of academic success is character development. character development. So the affluent neighborhood that cares a lot about making better grades, and of course literacy and numeracy and all of that's important, but without character development, like honesty and diligence and respect for authority or whatever, inquiring minds, all of those things, the literacy and numeracy won't make nearly so much impact. In a family where everyone knows they're going to have to go to work for someone else, it's the same story. They know they need diligence and honesty, stick-to-itiveness, punctuality, and so forth. And you find in those families those traits are very valued and very much inculcated in their children. And they are going to want that in their school, too. Staying out of trouble. Respect for authority so the police don't shoot you in a poor neighborhood, and so forth. So what I'm saying here is the research is very clear that character training is what makes for success. And if you want to hear more about that, go to the other free report that's posted on this same page. And how that's talked about, of course, it depends on who your parents are. But this alone helps you to differentiate yourself. That's a big, you know, a business word. Makes you different and at the top. So if you know that because your school, your teaching is focusing on that in the same way an old-fashioned parent would, a parent from, you know, generations ago would have focused on that, but in we're not talking about that in education today, then you have something that's special and makes you at the top and therefore should draw customers to you and make you more valuable, and therefore you might charge more for it. Okay? So, number one, to make more money is start from where the parents' desire is. Number two, understand what a business is. Because we're not taught anything about business and entrepreneurship in public school, and now you've embarked on being a business owner. And to be the top business owner, you have to be an entrepreneur. Okay, that means take risks and make more money. So be creative. Okay, an entrepreneur is a creative, risk-taking, venture-oriented business person. So understand what a business is. So the kernel of truth about what a business is that business is set up to make a win-win exchange for everybody. Good business is set up to make a win-win exchange. Now, some of you have a negative idea about business. Business is set up to rip people off. Well, I want to point out to you that those kinds of businesses don't last, particularly if they're small. You can't continue to do business ripping people off because people won't come back to you. A good business is based on repeat business. And so a business is a win-win operation. So somebody has a good product or service, somebody has money, and they trade, and everybody's happier because they have what they wanted. Okay? That's the basic logic of a business. Number three. Really? Okay, number three. How to be superior. So if you want to make more money, you have to have something bigger, better, more desirable to trade than anybody else. So you need to ask the question of why should people do business with me than any other possibility, including not making the trade, not having their kids taken care of by a professional, not going to the one down the street. You have to answer that. And so why are you the best option? Well, because you're superior. So how do you be superior? In the first place, you know that most people think that in-home childcare is only babysitting, right? Just keeping the kids safe and letting them run around the house. And I hope you are much more than that. You know that licensing would like you to be very safe, but they don't address a whole lot about the educational content. So I hope that you exceed licensing standards and you're able to implement a specific philosophy about what is the best for children. So what is the best? Well, that might be a judgment call. Some people think, you know, love and play, that's the most important thing. And other people say, no, it's academics. And the best way to teach academics is through didactic apparatus, you know, so teaching toys, that's Montessori. Or, heavens to Betsy, worksheets. I don't think so. But anyway, I don't think that's age appropriate. But whole child, and I've told you, there's lots of research that shows character development would be the most important thing, and very few people are talking about that. But whatever your philosophy is, what is it that's most important for a child to learn before they're five or six or go on to a more formal type school? Well, what is it that you think? What is it that your parents think? And make yourself excellent. Do you have the best toys? Do you have the best playground? What do you have that's the best? Be the best that you can be. And then, four, how are you communicating that to your prospective customers? Communication of what makes you different and best. That's marketing. Advertising, marketing, sales, we're going to consider that all together. How do you communicate your business's superiority? Rather than a course in marketing, talk about all the potential, you know, options and so forth, what I think is most helpful is to work on this in a workshop format. Okay? So at this point, in fact, you may have to go away and come back to this. At this point, I want you to write down the four or five top desires that parents in your neighborhood have. What are they looking for in childcare? If you don't know, then you need to turn this off, go find out, and come back. Write down the top four or five desires. Okay, and you might want to stop the tape. I'm not going to leave space on the tape because I only have so much space to post it, but you can, of course, stop and start the embedded player. So after each one, I want you to write 3 to 5 ways that you can meet that need. So if you have parents who want the students to shoot ahead in academics and get into the best schools, how can you meet that need? If you have parents who are very much invested in love and play and having a warm start, how can you meet that need? So for each of the four or five top desires, you're going to write down 3 to 5. And character development, you can add that. I think probably all parents want good children and want children to be successful in life. That may not be the top, but if you're really sold on that, you need to really make an effort to unpack that for parents. Because it is true. It doesn't matter what neighborhood or what kind of neighborhood it is. It's always true. But most people aren't thinking about it. So you could show up first. You know, we call all facial tissue Kleenex because the Kleenex company showed up first. But if you show up in a new category, you have to do extra marketing. So why don't you include that and use that as one of your things. Generate some ideas and see how far you can get with that. So that would really put you at the top if you could both do it and communicate it well. Okay. Then a third list. I want you to list three things that you do more and better than any other in-home operator in your town. Okay, what do you do best? You do more than anyone else. And if you can say more and better than any child care, including extended family, including the big centers, great. You know, because there is a real argument that having a smaller group of children to interact with is better for the children. It's not so stressful. You know, how stressful is it when you're two to be in a center with 200 kids? So it is, in-home is much more like home and all the good things about home, and yet it has some of the best things about best education too, because you're a professional. So as you do this exercise and force yourself to come up with some communication, then you will be having bright lights come on, you know, light bulbs over the head kind of thing. Keep working on this until you have really good ways to communicate. Now, then you're going to make a marketing piece. That might be a brochure, might be a website, might be a letter to new people in the neighborhood, might be all of those things. But once you have these ideas, you see, you have the ingredients to make a marketing piece or pieces and make that part of an organized marketing campaign. And if you need help, call me or call a marketing consultant. Good pictures matter a lot. However, there will be some parents who don't want their kids' picture on the website. So, you know, you might have to get agreements from parents whose children are older or whatever. But good pictures matter, color matters, and good-looking websites and so forth. It is not impossible to get a good-looking website. There are a lot of sites now that you can sort of fill in the blank, and all of the programming and even pictures may be there. So also your brochure, you can do that with a software and so forth. Have good marketing pieces and do have them. So in your neighborhood, posting a flyer on the bulletin board at the laundromat might do it. In your neighborhood, that might not work at all. You may have to have a direct mail out to all the new people who have moved in, and you can get that list maybe from the electric company. And so all the doctors and lawyers and engineers who move into town will get a letter from you, say if you have a child. Of course, if you have some bigger money, you can buy a list, but since you're a small business, you may not want a bigger list. So you could go to a mail house and buy a list of people who have children of the right age and so forth. You might have a tour. Tours are important. People, in fact, I encourage parents to walk through. The first job I ever had when I was 16, that was the age limit in Texas at the time. I worked for a daycare at 16, and I am pretty sure that none of the parents had ever walked through, or they wouldn't have left their children there. And I was hired to be the one who went and got the child and delivered him to the parent. So parents didn't even see the classroom when they picked up their child. Not good. So it was not good, and I didn't work there for very long. In fact, the place didn't last for very long because we were all paid in hot checks. Oh boy, that was an education. So yes, I encourage parents to have tours, but on the other hand, I realize this may be very disruptive for you. So you can announce a tour time every month and invite parents to a tour, and it may be even, you know, something like a Thursday evening, but you can show the parents, or maybe you can have it during the day but hire somebody to be with the children while you're doing the tour. I think that a tour is very helpful. have an orientation manual. You will want to do this so that your parents know upfront what the rules are, but it's great for prospective parents. And you can even have that on the website. It's pretty easy. If you need help making an orientation manual, you want to hire somebody, you can hire me. I do think that how you interact for the first time with the parents is very important. I remember when I had a daughter and I was shopping for early childhood services, and I would look up in the phone book, go over, and I would have some grouchy old woman hand me a stack of papers, sometimes orientation manual, and she would say, here, fill all this out, and you need to have an application fee, and you need to have this fee, and that would be it. And I'm thinking, great. I was already stressed out. Everybody's stressed out when they're looking for childcare, or they wouldn't be looking. Either they've moved, or they changed their job, or their last one didn't work out. And then just to be handed a stack, this is not a good interaction. Compare that with trying to get to know me, what we needed, and how can they serve. A very different attitude. And if there is competition, if there are empty spots, how much more important for you to be able to get clients and to differentiate yourself, to communicate why you're superior, if you treat that parent better and with more civility, yes, but also take some pains to say why your school is better. What is it that they want? Ask them that. And then if they want something completely different from what you have, then you might refer them to one of your friends. So if a parent comes in and says, well, she wants academics and she wants worksheets and she's got a two-year-old and you believe in learning by play, you might say, well, you know, we just don't have a match. But, you know, there is a good operator three houses down, three blocks away, whatever. And so let me give you a referral. And you've been of service to that, the highest service you could be. But how you interact really matters. Do you have a friendly voice on the phone? Do you give them something? And now here is a great tip from the best marketers. A free gift. Yes, a free gift. This could be downloadable on your website, or it could be available by email. So that way it doesn't cost you a whole lot. But you demonstrate that you, A, know something, and B, care about the people. Yes? Exactly why I'm giving you this free report. This is a valuable report for your business. It demonstrates that I know something that could be of service to you, and that I care about you. So I want your business to succeed. I want you to be the very best business you can, because I'm trying to make the world a better place through teaching teachers. So I want to serve my teachers so that they are the best teachers. They are the best business people. And so they have the best children and the most money and so forth. And this makes a business for me, makes the world a better place. It aligns with my values, yes? And so I'm suggesting you do the same thing for your prospective clients. Write up a little report about why it's so important that children feel loved, why it's so important that they're not stressed out by being in a big center, why it's so important that they get a great foundation in character, why it's so important that their exploration as young children is foundational for academic success. Why, if they play with the red rods or whatever, the educational toys, that makes a happier life for them. All of those things. If you're Montessori, you can give them a little book on Montessori. If you're learning by play, whatever. A little brochure if you buy a curriculum from the manufacturer. So give them something, all right? And this will differentiate yourself. It will communicate why you're superior to your customers. And it will make a relationship, beginning to make a relationship, because customer attraction is worth something. So you need to invest in it. Customer retention is worth something too. But you're investing in customer attraction. Okay, 5. How to be sure you're making money. I know it sounds silly, but many people who start out in business, in fact, maybe most, don't know for sure if they're making money or not. I knew a small businessman, rather well, who did everything out of his pocket rather than looking at the accounting books. And he said, oh, he knew where the money went because he was the only one who spent it. Well, he did. He just didn't know if the expenses were greater or less than the income. And he figured he did because the income went into his pocket, and then, but there were some times when there was an empty pocket. And fees had to be paid, and rent had to be paid, and he had spent all that money on, in this case, materials. So, and you don't have to be told he didn't make much, and guess what? He's not in business today. Okay? But there are a lot of people who are like that. You need to do the accounting for your business at least every month. You need to see where the money is coming in and where it's going out, and all of those, and don't forget some of them. Why is this so vital? The reason is not just to follow the rules and the taxing. Be ready for tax time, although that's true. But more importantly, you need to work on the business and not just in the business. You need to work on your business and not just in the business. And when you are sitting there with the accounting books, that's the time to see if things add up. Are you spending more than you're taking in? Or is one portion of your business really making all of the money? Where is it that you're losing money? So you must do your accounting books. You must do it. And for instance, what about this milk subsidy? Everyone thinks, oh yes, I would like to have the government give me money for milk. But how much time is that taking? Is it really worth your time? How good is it for the children? How many children do you have who really don't need to be drinking that milk? So books. And I have a product on sale, you can find it on the website, which will come to you in a CD and worksheets, and you need this in hard copy because you need to refer to it all the time. You don't need to be depending on whether it happens to be posted. And I guess it's my most popular product, financial records, keeping it straight, clear, and easy for in-home operators. And I show people how to keep books very simply. So the gal who just is starting and never really thought about a business, she can do this in, you know, after an hour or two of the training, she can just do it with a pencil if that's all she's got. Then if you have a spreadsheet, that's all you need. And you will do this every week, every month. You'll be ready for tax time. You'll be able to do your financial analysis. If you want to use some more sophisticated software like QuickBooks, great. You can use that too. It's based on double entry accounting. And if you understand double entry accounting, you are so much farther ahead. So I've had clients every place. And then if you have, you know, of course, the bigger centers have software that's made directly for the centers. And I've had a client, in fact, the local community college has a rather large daycare, child care center, and they were having a problem with the software. And guess who they hired to go and fix that? Yes. So not even the tech men at the college could do that because they didn't know about child care. And this was a professional package just for large centers. So it doesn't matter where. Now, I don't address that in this training. No, this training is just for the family day home, the in-home operators, and it goes from the very most basic, completely starting out, and, you know, you never thought of this, and you don't have a computer. All you have is a piece of paper and a pencil. I'll start you out there, and we'll go through spreadsheet, and we'll begin to talk a little bit about QuickBooks. So you need to understand the basic logic of accounting and how to set it up easily so that you can be ready for tax time or take it to your CPA. Incidentally, nothing here should be construed as legal or CPA advice, but if you know more, you can ask better questions if you need to use those professionals. Yes? Okay. So, again, my most popular product is financial records, keeping it straight, clear, and easy. And you can find that on my website, which is www.orgstrat.net, www.org, S like Sam, T like Tom, R A T like Tom, .net, orgstrat for organizational strategies. So I started at the business end. So doing consulting for small businesses, and this is my heart for early education came out. So there you have it. Go and get that. Get it now if you're not clear. But on record keeping, and you're not keeping up because it's so vital. This is the only way to work on your business. So let me talk a little bit about working on your business. You know, for instance, from there that you are making money and you're not just, because for instance, you haven't forgotten depreciation. So a lot of gals are just looking at cash flow, money coming in, money going out, but forgetting that there's wear and tear on the carpet, on the toys, on the washing machine. And let's just work on the washing machine. So say you have a business where you end up washing clothes and maybe even diapers because you think that's, I know that's archaic, but maybe you think that that's the best, and like I used to. And so you know that your washing machine is going to wear out. Say in 4 years, you're going to have to buy a new washing machine. And say a washing machine costs $400. You need to know, you need to depreciate $100 every year. So doing your accounting, you expense off $100 every year. And how much does that work out a month? I guess about $8. So that's an expense, but you don't see it going out in cash. So often people forget to depreciate the value, but you're going to have to buy a new washing machine. And if you are just breaking even in terms of your cash, and then at the end of 4 years, you have to buy a new washing machine and you don't have any money, then your business is at stake, you see? So it's important to do that kind of real accounting and not forgetting depreciation, because you want to actually make money. You want to actually make a profit and not just turn your capital assets like a washing machine into cash. You don't want to be doing that. That's not really making money. That's just moving it around. And you'll end up without a business, poor, if you do that. Okay, so that's one way you work on the business. But here's another way, because we want not just to stop from going out of business, we want to make more money. So if you're looking at your income, you can get creative ideas. For instance, you may discover that the supplies are eating you up. So do you need a supply fee? Or you may discover that the music lesson add-ons that you offer really are the most profitable part of the business. Well, maybe then you want to keep doing that, keep pushing those music lessons, or maybe the art lessons, or the dance lesson add-ons, or the Spanish, you know. So it gives you ideas about what would be good projects to do and what would be really important. Or if you could see there's no way to make this work, do you need to find a grant? All kinds of creative ideas based on the analysis from your accounting. So I promised you the 7 biggest mistakes. These are the most often made mistakes by in-home operators, and the depreciation was one of them. Usually people who go into early education haven't studied accounting, so they haven't thought about depreciation, and you don't want to transfer your big assets into cash and then end up at the end of whatever time period with nothing. All right, so you're not charging enough to make it work out. So depreciation. Another big mistake is not using the categories for your everyday accounting that will map to the Schedule C. Schedule C is the tax form in your 1040 that you report business expenses on, and they have a certain set of categories. And if you make categories, say you're just using a spreadsheet, okay, all your expense categories can be the same as expense categories in Schedule C. Or maybe there's, you know, some that you want to break down, but they have to map. And if you do that, then every month you make your spreadsheet and then you go to a new spreadsheet. Then at the end of the year, all you have to do is take those 12 spreadsheets. Don't do like so many do. And at the end of the year, come with a whole big box of receipts and have to start from scratch. That takes a lot of time. It's really stressful. And you have then not been able to work on the business in a proper way. However, I know that happens. So if that does happen, then do your 12 sheets at that time. And then do your revenue analysis. Still do it. But anyway, the big mistake is to not make categories the map to Schedule C, because the worst case scenario is that you did it one way and now you're going to have to do it the second way, and now you've made double work for yourself. If you keep up with everything, tax time will be a lot easier. Another big mistake people make is hiring casual employees and paying them as contract labor. So this is a federal rule. The rule is that unless a person has 5 clients altogether and advertises, they are not contract labor but a casual employee. And therefore, you must pay Social Security, Medicare, withholding. And if you don't get it right in the 941s, the IRS is very nasty. And boy, is this all daunting. Whew. If you just want to hire someone just to be your assistant, you're going to have to hire them as an employee. But how do you get away from that sort of accounting? Well, you can do staff leasing. There are companies that will handle all of that accounting that's related to the employee and follow all the HR rules. In Texas, there are very few HR rules. There's the Texas payday law that you have to pay them in full and on time. And then there's Texas Workforce Commission that you have to worry about. But in other states, it's much more complicated. So staff leasing is useful in that case. But another way around that is to outsource it from a company. For instance, maybe you need someone to come and do the cooking so you can do the kids. Well, rather than having someone come in and do the cooking, you can hire somebody to deliver meals, right? And so she's your caterer and it's outsourced. And I know many people knowingly violate this rule, but let me tell you what the penalties are. If you get caught, you will have to pay back taxes for 3 years all at once. And so that's a very often made mistake, is to count people as contract labor when under federal rules they're really casual employees or regular employees. Another common mistake that in-home operators make is letting clients not pay because you care about the kids. But if you do that, then you will cultivate them not paying, and then you will be out all that money and they will leave. There are many people who have discovered that they can rack up bills and never pay. But think about it. If you were the mom, what would be your priority? Number one priority would be eating, but there are a lot of food pantries. The second priority is being sure your kid is all right. And so the number one person you should pay is your in-home operator, the person who takes care of your child. More important than rent, because rent will take partial payment. Rent will be there. Rent won't kick you out in 1 week. So do not teach people that they can get away with not paying you. Do not teach people that they can get away with not paying you, because if you let them get behind, they won't be able to make that up, and they will learn that they can do this to the next person. So don't train people that way. I know you think you're being kind, but that is not the way business works. That's not righteousness. Integrity doesn't permit that. So you say, oh, but little Johnny, I want to take care of little Johnny. Well, you can't take care of 12 little Johnnies that way. Now, it is possible to take care of 10 Howards and have 2 Johnny slots. Okay, it is possible if you are charging market rates for the majority of your kids to have some scholarship slots. Fine, then call it a scholarship. Call it charity and get an agreement. But do not teach people that they can get away with not paying, because then you have not been a superior teacher, nor have you been good to your own family. And in fact, you're going to have to make up your mind that you're going to fire people who don't pay you. And if you have, you may find out from the family, maybe they're paid weekly and you need to take weekly tuition. So yes, work with them. Or maybe they have been a good client for a long time and now they're having special difficulty because they're out there pounding the pavement looking for work. Okay, so for a certain time slot with a payment plan, okay, fine. But, oh, something happened? No, things don't happen, right? People make choices. So in the normal case, they're going to have to pay you when it's due or their child can't come. And you may have to have a late policy, so 3 days grace, but that's it. And if you can't do that, then you're going to have to think about, can you have a business? That may be the biggest mistake I'm hearing about. Another business mistake is mixing business money with personal money. And if your family has an unexpected need and your school has an unexpected need, you're in big trouble. So have a separate account. Another big mistake is not keeping all your receipts. Let me tell you, the CPAs and bookkeepers really complain about this. Just have an accordion file. And every time you make a purchase, put the receipt every time in your wallet. And then the ones that are business, you put in that accordion file for each month and you got it made. Of course, we already talked about not keeping records. Okay, so those are the 7 big mistakes. I hope it's obvious to you how to avoid them. Yes, and then you'll have a business. But I want you to do better than that. I want you to have a superior business. Okay, and the last topic I want to address is directly how to make more money. Okay, there are 4 ways to make more money in all businesses and including yours. 1, do more of what makes money. So, stay open longer, have more children, whatever. Do more of whatever it is that makes money. 2, reduce expenses. Right? So, what? Buy less toys, less supplies, have less workers? Anyway, reduce expenses. That's a general answer. 3, do what you do better than anyone else does it, so that the value you bring to the marketplace is greater, and so more people want to buy what you have, or people will pay more for it. So that's 3. 4 is market better so more people want to buy from you at a higher price. Those are the 4 ways that any business makes more money. 1, do more of what makes money. 2, reduce expenses. 3, do what you do better than anyone else does so you get paid for more value. 4, market better. Now, the first 2 methods of making more money have a great deal of limitation, especially for you. You can only do so much more. You can't work around the clock. You don't want to, you know, so you have inbuilt limitations. You can reduce expenses only so much. You can't have a good center with no toys and no supplies and no food. So let's look at the second 2. Okay, you can do something better than anyone else does it. And I've given you a number of ideas, a few ideas, on how to be better than anyone else. The first place, start from what parents want and give them what they want. And have a good philosophy about that. And the easiest way of being superior is offering character training, teaching morals and manners, because everyone needs that. There's a great deal of research and no one's talking about it. And incidentally, how do you know? I asked you to ask that and I want to give you the answer. The one book that I would like to point to is William James' Religion, Education, and Academic Success. And that was published in 2003. Incidentally, he's a professor in California. And he does a meta-analysis of all the other research. And yes, you can apply that even if you're not a religiously affiliated school. The citation is in the hard copy of this report, and there's a more discussion about that in the other free report on that topic. So that's an easy way to get to the head of the pack. There are other ways. You could offer help for special needs children, and that could really increase your revenue if you could do it, but that's not so easy. So find some way to be superior. And then, because the value you bring, then more people will want that value, or you can charge more, or both. 4 is better marketing. The unfortunate truth is that even if you were the best center in the world, if nobody knew it, it wouldn't help you. I can't tell you the number of people who would say, well, my work should speak for itself. Well, unfortunately, no, your work doesn't speak for itself. Well, it might speak, but not very loudly. You need marketing. And you also know that there are lots of companies out there who do a lot of marketing and make a lot of money who don't have a superior product. Think about pizza advertisement. I'm sure you can think immediately of pizza advertisements, and you know they're not the very best pizza you've ever tasted in the world, but they're a very big company, and why? It's because of advertising. Now, advertising in the same way, just throwing a bunch of money out for advertising won't necessarily work, but a whole coordinated, intelligent packaging of communicating well to your market is necessary for you. And we talked about how to do that. Basic tips for better marketing. Think about your parents. Find a way to talk to them. Talk to them in a way that shows you care about what they think and you have something to offer them. Really, the number one way of increasing your revenue is better marketing. But don't do that alone, because that won't be sustainable. But if you have better marketing and a better product, then particularly if you connect that with good accounting, you know, good expense control, and then you'll have a superior business. That's what it takes. It's what it takes for everyone. And I want to see you succeed in business. particularly if you're superior, particularly if you are teaching the character development, the manners and the morals. That's what we have for you today. I hope it's helpful. Please send me your testimonies. Send me stories about how you have improved and how this has helped you. Really and truly, I'd like to hear from you. I want to know what you need to know so you can improve. And I want to know how this is helping so that I can help other people. So write me at info@orgstrat.net. So it's info@orgstrat. S like Sam, T like Tom, R, A, T like Tom, .net. Please sign up for the notification list. You'll find there on the website at www.orgstrat.net, you'll see that there's still a sign-up list. Tell your colleagues who are good in-home operators, good teachers, tell them to sign up so that you can get notifications of my training, when I post something, when I come to your town, and when I've got some special creative thing that might improve your business. I want to tell you about it and improve the lives of your children. Yes, because that's how I'm making the world a better place, to be of highest service. Nothing herein should be considered legal or accounting advice. Please see your licensed professional.